What was Jeremiah called to do? Ooh, it's getting a little warm in here. Okay, yeah. What was Jeremiah called to do? Who was he to give his message to? Do you guys remember? Oh, the whole board got erased. Let's see if it's in the back.
Judah, the southern kingdom.
Oh, it's completely gone. Okay, Judah, the southern kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? So, last week, we started with this question asking the picture of Jeremiah is a man who is in between God and man, right? A person who's trying to give the message, a pretty hard message, to people that he loves, right? And when I asked you guys a question, what are some other modern day situations of a situation where you might love someone and you're trying to help them, but they reject you, right? They reject you. How do you say reject in Chinese?
Jujue.
Right, so you jujue somebody. And you reject them. And they're rejecting because of the message that you're giving. And when I asked the class last week to think of some examples, the class thought of examples like, you know, there's a lot of how do we, you know, stand up against the LGBT movement or bad things happening in the world. And what I wanted to share with you guys last week, or where we went in the direction of, is we're thinking of bringing a message to non-believers, but really what Jeremiah was called to do was to bring a message of restoration to people of God, right? Do you remember that? Okay. So Jeremiah, in a modern day picture, is not so much a person going to non-believers saying, hey, you guys are, you know, in sin, stop sinning. Because, by the way, non-Christians or people who don't have Jesus are supposed to act a certain way. Rather, Jeremiah's message is to try to restore people back to God, right? Restore people of God back to God. This commentator right here, Baxter, actually compared Jeremiah to Jesus, right? Jesus came for what reason? Jesus came to bring people into a right relationship with God. So if they've gone off track, he's called to bring them into a right relationship back to God. He not only saved us from sin, but also called us and enabled us out of a life of sin, right? So the picture I want to start with us for today is we have a man who is called by God to bring people of God back into relationship with God. Okay? Does that make sense? So, a more modern day example of Jeremiah, where we went to last week, is in the church, why is it that we have a hard time confronting other brothers and sisters in these areas of sin or in correction? Right, because that's not a very common practice today. Right, so here's what Jeremiah was called to do. Right, he's called to say, okay, this is in Jeremiah 2, chapter 2. And in these verses, God says to him, go tell this to my people. I remember when you were young, I remember your love for me. Okay, see, these are people who love God. I remember your love for me. But
What wrong do you find in me that you have went away from me? Right? What's wrong with you that you've gone away from me? The Lord is saying, I've seen your love for me, and now you've gone away from me. You used to love me. You used to have devotion towards me. And now you don't. So let me ask you a question. Does this happen to us? Raise your hand if you know that you're like, yeah, I've loved God more before. I've been more devoted to God, and today I'm a little bit not as loving God. Today I'm not as devoted to God. Raise your hand if that's happened to you before. Yeah? It doesn't mean today, but you know, you've had that happen. Now, also raise your hand if you have seen that in someone else in the church, that they, you saw that they were loving God, devoted to God, and now they are not as loving God and not as devoted to God. Raise your hand if you've seen people in church. Right? Okay. Right, so we've all seen that. So then the question is, first, when was the last time that you brought a word of correction to a brother and sister because you love them so much, right? Where you actually went to someone, a brother or sister in Christ, and you said, oh man, your goal was to say, you're not where you used to be. Like, what happened? What's going on? Right? And how come you're wandering from the Lord? Or I see that you're in this area of sin. I, out of love, I want to bring that up to you. Okay? So talk in your group real quick and see, when was the last time you said some harder words to a brother and sister because you love them so much? All right? And you can be honest. You can be honest and say, nope, never done that. Okay, so what do you guys think, right? How does it go? When was the last time you guys brought a word of correction to someone, and what was that like? Anybody want to share? You don't want to start here? Okay. All right, Mabel, give us something. Mabel has something. Go ahead. What was the word of correction you gave? Hopefully it wasn't to your son or anything like that.
It was to you. Oh.
That was a long time ago. I remember that.
Oh, you remember? I don't. All I remember is something about driving.
Oh, really? Was it about driving? Oh, no, I remember several. It was a different one. Oh. I remember there was one where you were crying and you're pretty mad at me. Mm-hmm. That one, remember that
oh,
one?
Oh, that one is like you, man.
You were really furious at me. Good.
What do you want to know?
Yeah, sure. What was it like? What made you do that? And what was it like?
I think to confront someone is very easy. You just like, oh, speak out of your mind.
That's easy.
Wait, not that. To speak from your heart. But are you speaking and talking to a brother or sister for corrections in love, which
right.
means that you care for what they're thinking,
right.
and you also have to ask yourself, what's your motive?
Right.
What's the point that you want to go across? Is it just to dump everything mm-hmm. in your head,
mm-hmm.
and then you feel better, or you want the persons that who actually hear what you see was not godly.
Right.
And I think the most important part is you need to pray about it.
Mm. Okay, good. So yeah, it's easy to maybe correct someone, but it's much harder to actually do that in love, right? Okay, what else did you guys share here? Who was another one?
We shared a lot of kind of like generally how to steer conversations in not just dilly-dallying on like the shallow things in life, but
okay.
how to like talk in deeper ways and ask each other harder questions
right.
and take that time and invest in people to like have a relationship to have those kind of
okay.
conversations.
Okay, so you're saying that, part of
part of being able to correct someone out of love. Okay? Because this applies to even your friends. If you see a friend that is not doing well, you should be able to talk with a friend, because that means they are already a friend, right? But they're a friend because you've already invested. There's a relationship. You've spent time getting into that, right? And the same thing for Christian brothers and sisters, the ability to have relationships where you go deeper. If you have a deeper relationship, that allows more of that conversation, right, to take place, right? Okay, good. How about your guys' experience? Anybody here in the back end of this table? Go ahead, Kai. You look like you're about to say something.
I think one I really, really made when I think hard about it is it comes down to even just our own motives in the heart of why we want to do it. But then the other aspect is also like after you pray about it, and sometimes it's still hard to like go after and talk. Because especially if it's someone you've had, you know, you've been building a relationship for a while, I feel like sometimes that can be even harder.
Oh, because you're a friend.
Something that I guess like for myself that I've learned to do in these situations is also give them a chance to like share their side and really speak. Because I feel like sometimes it's easy to just come in and tell them everything we see, and then not give them a chance to kind of like, okay, how do you feel? How do you see it? Do you even see this? And I feel like that's broken up the conversation for them to like, you know, respond that way.
Okay, good. All right, so we have these things that I'm hearing you guys say. Okay, so you said, so within this table, it's like confronting may be easy, and I think I heard for some. Okay, for Mabel, it's like, it's easy. I'll just tell them what they did wrong. I see what they did wrong, I'm going to tell them. Yeah, I've been the recipient of that from Mabel before, right? But, but is it done in love? Well, you're the one who got me in trouble one time. You told your mom that I crossed carpool lanes.
Is that really?
He's like, Pastor Alex was driving and he crossed the double lanes. I said, like, oh, that was a mistake. Shame. Got me in trouble. Rat. Okay? But it's easy for some, but is it done in love? Is it done in love, right? Did you even really pray about it, I heard? Do you even have built a deeper relationship? Do you have a deeper relationship? Do you have a deeper relationship with anyone, right? Okay, and Kai even said, it may even be harder as a friend, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Right? So even because there's a friendship, it's harder to correct them or say something hard because you don't want to mess up the friendship, right? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Because it may, what? Break the friendship? Jeopardize the friendship? Okay, good. How about you guys in the back?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people think that bringing up something like this can be uncomfortable or like tension filled, but
okay.
I don't think it has to be.
Okay.
I feel like kind of what Kyle was saying, like if you approach it from a perspective of trying to understand and trying to like see, is there something, like I see this problem, but is there something that I'm not seeing? Is there more to it than, you know, they're letting on? Then it's easier to address it, right? Because then you're asking questions, you're trying to understand And in asking like that person questions and trying to understand, it forces them to think about it as well.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times that ends up being a way to like love them, to be very gentle with it and to still address it, and for them to realize, hey, yeah, actually this is a problem in my life. So like, for example, at school, I was discipling someone, and I just tell that this person's like relationship with God wasn't really all there. I grew up in the church, so I feel like he knew a lot of the Bible stuff, but the relationship wasn't really genuine. And it was just asking questions, and it came down to like these two questions that I asked him that really like transformed his relationship with Christ. And the first one was, what is your relationship with God? Or what is your relationship with God like? And then he responded like, yeah, God is like this distant being who like crosses his arms and, you know, kind of judges me and shames me so that I don't sin. And then I asked him like, okay, well then what's your relationship with Jesus like? And then he's never thought of that before. And so just helping him understand like it's not just like some higher power, some entity there, but there's like a real relationship. Like Jesus is, you know, talked about like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, right? Like he runs you, he loves us, and he really wants a relationship with us. And so just like asking those two questions, and even in that like meeting, he was just thinking, it's like, yeah, I have to process through this. But by the end of the semester, you know, he was sharing with everyone like how he has a real genuine like relationship with Christ now. So
okay.
That was just really cool to see, like for me to just try to understand him better, and to not even like necessarily say anything or like, try to teach him, but then for him to just like go to Christ and build that relationship up.
That's interesting. Kenny sounds like an expert on this. Okay? Right? That's good. I wrote Kenny's on this side, right? As things for us to consider, right? I think that gives us a really good starting point too, which we're going to go. Okay, so the reason why we're taking our time in this is because some of the feedback that I received from last week was, whoa, last week you dropped that on us really hard, it's fast, it's good, it's convicting. We don't have a lot of correction. We don't have a culture of correcting at our church. It's good. You reminded us when we see a brother or sister not doing well, should we say something? And the answer is yes, obviously. But the feedback that I received from people was, oh, it'd be great to go deeper into this. It'd be good to spend a little bit of time on this. And that's why we're doing this. And someone reminded me, my wife, like all the time, like, you're not giving us enough time to talk in our small groups. Right? So if you're like Joshua Milton ran out of things to talk about for a while, well, that's as a result of other people who want to talk a little deeper. Maybe they have deeper thoughts, right? Okay. That's okay, right? How about this side of the room or anything else in the back? Yes, Josie.
I was thinking about it, and like I feel like I have like an opposite reaction than Kai.
Okay.
So it took a long time because
okay.
I don't want to come off as like judgy, you know, like
right.
I'm looking for something wrong with somebody because I don't understand where they're coming from, right?
Right?
And I recognize that that's kind of a problem, you know.
Right.
You can't wait that long with everybody, right?
Right.
But I think I get held back by feeling like, well, I have like a log in my eye, so like who am I to go
oh, okay.
bring something
mm-hmm.
up with somebody
mm-hmm.
else?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm hearing two things, and you can let me know if I'm hearing you, right? So one, Josie said, I actually can have that type of confrontational
discussion because of a deeper relationship. Okay, that's one that I heard, right? But I also heard, and you felt that it's easier to talk about with someone who you have a deeper friendship with, right? So that goes against this one, Kai's comment that it might be even harder as a friend because of the feeling that you might break the friendship. You're saying, actually, it is a deeper relationship that allows me, because of my love for them, that I want to say this, I see it, I have to say it. But I think the other side that you shared, Josie, was that what prevents me is the mentality of like, who am I to say anything to her, though? Or him, right? You know, I don't know if it's the friend right there. Tim's like, is it me? Was it me? Right? Like, I can't tell him because he might point out my thing, you know? Right? Right? So, like, every time Bex will say to me, confronts me, like, you don't throw your clothes in the hamper. Why do you leave it out, just hanging out or on the floor? It's right there. She was, I know you're a good shot in basketball. How come you miss that? How come you can't throw your clothes in the hamper? That's like my forever, like, I don't know why. I just throw it right outside of it because I don't know. Because I might want to wear it again, right? And then, and I actually do. But my comment always back to her is, how come you don't ever wash the bath towels? How come the bath towels are never washed? You have your own log. You got to dry again, right? Touche. That's what we say to each other, touche. You got me, okay? Timmy, yes.
I was going to add, I think one thing that can, in certain situations, be helpful, though, is if you bring the Bible into it. You go to the scriptures, and it may address
right.
maybe the thing that this person is doing.
Okay.
And then it doesn't really become you judging it. It's more
right.
like, this is what God says
about it. Hey, me, God's judging you. Let me smack you on the head with the Bible. You. God's talking to you, right? Okay? Yeah, so maybe bring the Bible in, right? Bring the Bible in. That's always good. Let's bring the Bible as a form of self-defense, right? Right? It says so right here. Your clothes need to go in the hamper, Alex. That's all. Right? I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't like it going in. I like to see my dirty clothes. And let somebody else put it in. So we're training my son to do that for me. So my son is being trained to do all the laundry and get used to all the clothes outside of the hamper. I'm getting better though, right, honey? Am I getting better?
Yes.
It's like 50%. It's getting in. It's getting in. Okay, what about this side? Like, any other comments back there? How about over here? What are, yes, Wendy.
Older, but,
yeah.
And I'm the one who always gets corrected.
Right. Exactly.
Because I'm the most immature one.
Right. That's good.
And since, because it happens a lot, I'm just kind of used to it. And now I feel like I'm actually more comfortable with people talking to me.
Oh, that's
because
good.
Because when people are upset with you, you can just tell. And you really wish them to tell you what's wrong.
Right.
And what can I do to change?
Right.
To change. And when... Because if they don't, you can just get really anxious and nervous. What if I can't avoid this and I'll always be a bad person?
Right.
So yeah. And yeah, I just feel more relieved and confident when they actually talk to me about it.
That's cool.
So here's the thing. We want to, like, I need to talk to you about this thing, and when you're ready, just tell me. So
yeah, that's cool.
It's just really good because you feel more confident that you can avoid it in the future, and you can just improve. When people
right.
talk to you about things, you can improve.
Right, that's good. See, that's now from the perspective of the receiver, okay? Let me ask, thank you, Wendy. Was there more that you want to share?
No, that's all.
Okay, so let me ask you a question about Wendy, right? I don't know if Wendy's a believer or not, right?
I am.
Okay, great, wonderful. Now, Wendy, or let me ask the class, what did you hear from Wendy as a receiver of correction? Okay? So now we're going to look at, that's great, Wendy. Okay, so as a receiver, how do you spell receive?
E-I.
Receiver. This is a giver, right?
This is a receiver. Okay, I wrote the line in the wrong part here. Okay, let's do that. Okay. Receiver, giver. So what? Think. Okay. I thought what Wendy just shared was very refreshing. Yes. Amen. Right. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Wendy, for sharing. And what do you see in Wendy as a receiver? Give me some words to describe her.
Teachable.
Okay, teachable, right.
Open.
Okay. Huh?
Open.
Open. Open to receive. Receive. Okay. Give me some words, class. Come on.
Humility.
Humble.
Desire to grow.
Okay. A desire to grow. She mentioned the word what? Mature. I want to mature. It's helping me to mature. What else?
Acknowledging that God has a lot to work on her still.
Okay. So,
Acknowledge.
God has room to grow her, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. What else did you guys hear? Anything else? I'll put the special star. Anything else? I think that's powerful. I think that's so powerful. Thank you, Wendy, for sharing that perspective, right? Because we're gonna go there as a class. Not yet. You read my mind of where we're gonna go, right? I'm gonna ask you another question, Wendy. These people, these friends that are older than you, what makes their correction receivable? How do they do it? Or who, like, why can you receive it from them?
Okay. You know, just straight up using insults, they don't do that. They just
right, not angry, not out of anger, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Does he also consider like how do I feel?
Oh, okay, good. Okay, so they're considerate, right?
Empathy.
Okay, the word is, this is a big word for you guys, but it's called empathic. Okay, so that's having empathy. Empathic, right? It means I have empathy. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. They put them, uh-huh, yeah.
They also learn a lot, like just, they just don't care about their, how do they feel about me? And
yes.
They also, like, just, I kind of agree with some of the stuff. It's talking things out, kind of defensive relationship.
Yes.
Because it's a thing for both persons.
Yes.
So, like, it's a thing that you both need to work on.
Right.
Like, you talk to me about it.
Right.
And they talk to me about it.
Right.
I, like, consider it and very carefully and move on together. Yeah.
Good, good, good. So, am I hearing you that they're saying that they bring up something to you that they themselves may need to work on too? Is it like that or no?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, right. So that's kind of addressing the log in their own eye too, right? Like, hey, I have to admit, Wendy, I'm not perfect either, right? But why do they correct you? Are you just an easy target? Why do you think they like to help you?
It's like kind of immature, I guess.
Okay. No, but you may be immature. There's a lot of people immature. Why don't they correct other people? Why do they correct you?
I mean, I don't know. They may be correcting each other too, but uh-huh. I just like, don't see it. You know?
Yeah? But why do you think? Why would they spend the time to do that with you?
To be straightforward, I think they care about me.
They care about you. And you know that, right?
Yeah.
See? Right? So she knows, the recipient knows it's out of care. Right? So the recipient knows and believes the giver cares. Okay? See, that's another important point. If Wendy had a doubt that they even care about her, she's going to be like, forget about it. I don't need to hear from you. You don't really care about me. Right? But if you know that they care about you, then you're like, okay, yeah, I want to grow. I'm willing to hear this. Okay, good. Very good. Wow, that's cool. Is that cool, guys? Was that cool? Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys want to share?
It was just more like a in-between Josie's and Kai's.
Okay.
Because it's like, you have like a relationship or like a friendship with someone.
You have a friendship.
But if you haven't stepped your foot into the deeper side. If you haven't like stepped your foot into the deeper side, it's hard to kind of go into that. The part where like
yes.
you need to correct them.
Yes.
And that can start to, I guess, a little break
yes.
the pressure a little bit.
Okay. So Milton's point is, even with a good friend, if you haven't done it before, you almost need to get used to it. You almost need to get into it, right? Okay, very good, very good. So I'm going to ask you guys a question now, and you guys could discuss. What are reasons why Christians do not do this? What are reasons why Christians do not bring words of correction to one another? Why do friends who are in Christ not say a word to help someone else mature? You heard Wendy and all these things that, don't we wish everybody was like Wendy? I mean, I wish everyone was like Wendy, like, oh yeah, and I wish everyone was like her friends to say, I care so much that I want you to grow that, Wendy, we love you. We want to share this with you. Like, that's beautiful relationships. Wendy says she's grown. She's matured because people cared about her enough to say it. Yeah?
I mean, it just feels really bad when you're like the most immature one. You don't want to stay that way.
Right, right. That's good. Man. Wendy's like our top student, right? Like, you don't want to be never growing. But the same thing in church. People are growing around you. How many of you have seen a person younger than you grow in faith? And they're like passing you up in terms of faith and love. Not that it's a competition, but they're maturing and you're like, I'm stuck. I love Wendy's. We should all have Wendy's attitude. I don't want to be the only one not growing. I want to be growing too. Someone help me. Someone talk to me. Show me my blind spot that I can't see, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good. But what are the reasons why Christians do not bring a word of correction? Talk about that in your groups. What holds us back? Why do we not do that? And I want to hear, especially from younger groups, like, in today's young people group, that sounds so dumb. In today's millennial age, right? For the millennialists, you guys are millennialists. Like, why don't, do people even do this? Do people even want to help each other to mature and grow? Or is it like, no, forget it. I'll be on my phone. We don't need to. We always just laugh. We just Instagram silly pictures and those filters. Hey, look, I look like a cat. Ha ha. Great, you're so immature and your life is like dying, but I'll send you another. Here's me with my tongue sticking out. So let's hear from the millennialists. Like, do you even want correction to grow? Is that normal today? Why do people not do correction? Share that for a moment. We're going to go into next week on this too, by the way. Okay, so what are some of the things? Let's get back together, right? What are some of the things why it's hard? Why don't we do this? Give me one reason. Go ahead, Auntie Kim. You're about to say something.
I guess some people are not, they don't like confrontation.
Okay, non-confrontational. Okay, so see again, for some, we have to recognize personalities are different.
okay? Some people's personality are non-confrontational. What do you think about my personality? Am I comfortable with confrontation? I am. I am. It's way easier for me. For Bex, it is not. Her personality does not like confrontation at all. Sometimes it is personality. Mabel? Confrontational? Yes, the answer is yes. Okay. Easy. She's like, that's the easy part. Do you do it in love? See, Mabel and I have to work it on that side. Like, so I don't confront a lot anymore because I'm always wondering, am I doing this in love? I lack love. I don't lack the ability to confront. But some people don't like confront. What are another reason why we don't? Go ahead, next group, table down.
So something we were talking about, I guess the obvious, do you love them enough?
Okay, do you love them enough?
Because,
okay. Well, that's the question, right? Kai's saying, if you see your own family member at home, you'll say it. But when it comes to someone in your church family, you don't say it. But that's the question. Some people won't even do it at home. We're not going to confront anybody at home either. What's another reason why in the back? Josie gave one where she says, who am I, right? Is there another one you guys have? Okay, cultural, right? Cultural and generational, yeah. That's why I was making fun of this last week, right? Right? Last week I was making fun of the college Christian life where we just coffee it together. We talk. That's why Kenny is so good at bringing up these points. Because in our generation, it's especially in today's younger generation of Christians, we give space to talk and to think, right? And yet, when the biggest thing that not only Kenny, but other college students have come to talk to me, they come home and they're like, I want to help my parents with their spiritual journey. I'm kind of seeing that they're not doing that well. I want to get coffee with them. I want to create some space for them to talk, and they don't, right? And Kenny will say that to me, and other college students will say to me, I'm giving them space, I'm asking them questions, and they're like, this is none of your business. This is my own life. Don't talk to me about my, don't correct me, don't help me, I'm a parent. But they don't realize that in some cases, their child's spiritual life and their faith has maybe even passed them on, right? But the parents can't, because generationally, they can't receive it. They're not willing to have a mutual relationship to grow to, right? Or even to someone else. I can't just go and find anyone who is gray-haired here and say like, hey, let's sit down for coffee. I wanna, even if I ask them a million questions, if I ask that one zinger, like, so how are you doing with that? Don't know. Right? Generational difference. Okay, good. What else? So let's hear from the millennials here, right? The millennials. Do millennials like to have friends to correct each other besides Wendy? Okay, Wendy does. Wendy's like, yes, give it to me. I want to grow. Do the rest of you, do you like when someone corrects you? Valerie says no.
It's not like I don't like it. It's just like I start feeling all defensive. I don't, when someone tells me, hey, you need to change this, I don't immediately think, this is for my own good. I have to be why are you telling me what
right.
to do?
Who and are
then,
you? Oh, see?
Yeah, and then I think about it, and then I'm like, wait.
Valerie even has the head. Why are you even talking to me? Who are you? I can't even do it.
What?
Your neck doesn't
see.
Your neck doesn't move right.
My neck don't move right. But I'm stiff necked. Right, but that creates a hesitancy, right? For someone to want to correct you then, right? Because when someone corrects Wendy, right? Wendy's like, yes. I'm an angel. I want to learn, you know, I want to grow. But if you're like, hey, who are you, right? But of course, after a while, you're saying, then you have to think and go, oh, they're actually doing that for my own good. I have a fear that the generations coming up, okay? Talk about generations. You're going to see different generations like that. I don't think in all of history, every generation and culturally doesn't have talking back and forth. I think it happens in certain cultures. The Chinese culture is very, very mind your own business. 你管你自己的，不要来管我的。 That's why even people taught me in Chinese culture class at UCLA, the word for country is like this, right? Something like that. And there's things in there. Right? There's a person. There's a red in there. There's like a box. Okay? That's how much. I took 2 years of Chinese at UCLA. This is all I remember. But you know what? You know what they said? Chinese culture is this is the man. There's a, okay, I know that one, that's Ren. There's a man, and then his farm, his field. And here's his happy child.
Let me help you out.
Yeah, see, there's a field in there, yeah? Yeah, but if you go back, there's a Ren in here, like this. See? And then there's a field. And this is a man and his field and his children. Here's his little child. But see, it is what? It's in a fence. It is boxed off. It is boxed off. That's my fence. And even the professor said, Chinese culture says, stay out of my box. Don't come into my box. Stay in your own box. This is me and my field. And my child, or my dog, whatever that is. Or my chicken. My cow. Don't come in. Don't come into my space. You stay in your space. I stay in my space. Culturally, Chinese people have that background. And it makes it harder to say.
Where did you get the idea of your teacher?
Oh, yeah. He's from China himself. But maybe he's wrong. But see, we need to open the door. We need to open the door as a Christian and let people in, right? Maybe the Chinese professor is wrong. I hope he's wrong. As a Christian, we're not Chinese. We're not American. We're people of God. And we want to welcome people to come and talk to us to help me grow. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We pray that you would continue us on in this path. And Lord, bless the rest of the day of worship. Would you speak to us, especially for any non-believers coming into our midst? Father, would you bring them unto salvation? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I did not mean to offend any Chinese people, okay? I didn't say that. My professor said that, by the way.